from today's psalm. Search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek his face. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It always helps to understand the context of the gospel lessons that we hear on Sunday. And the context in which this takes place, this walking on water, well, this story follows immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. If you remember, Jesus had been given the word that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. And, of course, he's in mourning, but he stops to feed the multitudes. And then, as he proceeds on, he wants to continue his mourning after meeting the physical needs of the multitude. So he goes off to pray, and he sends the disciples off in a boat together. I think it's interesting to see how Jesus treats both the multitudes and the disciples. With the multitudes, he gives to them freely. But with his disciples, those who are closest to him, those who are his followers, he is constantly teaching and challenging them. They don't get things freely. They have to work for them. They have to process what he's saying to them. And they have to take that into their hearts and their minds to understand exactly who it is that Jesus is for both them and for us. I think if we look at this story about Peter walking on the water and we see him sinking, it's very easy to pass judgment on him that he lacked in faith. But I think if we can apply that to our own lives, I think we need to look at how it is or why it is that sometimes we sink. How do we sink in our faith? And how can we strengthen our faith and our spiritual growth? Well, if we look at the story, Peter was distracted. He was distracted by the wind and probably by the waves that were being whipped up as he stepped out onto the water. That's what got him to look away from Jesus. So his was a fear. Sometimes our distractions are fears, but not always. Perhaps our distraction is that we have become complacent. We have been content to stay put right where we are. And perhaps if we are honest with ourselves, we see no desire or need to grow in our faith. That is, until we are motivated by personal crises. When we reach beyond ourselves, when events force us to look for alternative answers to our problems, and when overwhelming circumstances force us to search or to cry out for Jesus. I urge you as individuals and disciples of Jesus, and as a community of faith formed by and united in faith in Christ, to consider what the bold step Jesus is calling you to take. Is it to confront your fears? Perhaps your lack of time or lack of money, physical ailments? Perhaps what you see is a lack of talent? Perhaps you have a fear of failure, a fear of ridicule, a fear of physical violence or abandonment. Or perhaps you know someone or are that someone who has stepped out in faith to follow Jesus' call, leaving behind lucrative jobs, stable relationships, and settled homes to follow Jesus. I can't help but reflect on the last 24 hours in this nation. What has gone on down in Virginia, most importantly, for those who have stepped out in faith as faith leaders, and I can speak for the Christian leaders that were down there in solidarity to our baptismal covenant, to respect the dignity of every human being. Locking arms together and walking out there, facing fear, bodily harm, to stand for injustice. I think they send a powerful reminder to all of us exactly what it is that Christ calls us to, and that it is not always comfortable. That sometimes it is dangerous, akin to walking on water and feeling like perhaps you might drown. As Christians, we call that stepping out in faith, like Peter did on the water. But in the secular world, we might say you don't know until you try, or nothing ventured, nothing gained. But Jesus urges us and invites us to trust in him, to have faith in him. He has said to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." He has also said, let the little children come to me, and come, follow me. Like Peter, we all need to start somewhere. We all have to learn how to trust Jesus. And as the psalmist writes in this morning's psalm, search for the Lord and his strength, continually seek his face. I think sometimes we are kind of distracted also by the word disciple, that it carries heavy overtones, that we should be totally equipped to follow Christ. I had a conversation earlier this week with a friend who was sharing with her boss, who works in the bishop's office, about how she found that the word disciple put too much pressure on her and that she could never measure up to that. And so he talked to her for a while, and in our conversation, she said to me what they came up with was a substitute word, which I think is probably even more appropriate when we find ourselves feeling like we are up against something that we can't even manage, that we don't have that interior strength or understanding or abilities to cope with it. She said rather than being called a disciple, she would rather be called an apprentice. Just as Jesus was an apprentice, right next to her, right next to his father Joseph, there in the carpenter shop, learning how to do, watching how he used tools, learning the work, we too are apprentices, standing next to Jesus, watching him, hearing him, seeing how he behaves, seeing how he responds, seeing how he lives his life. And I think as apprentices, we can put aside that need to feel like we are totally qualified right here and right now, and that we are all in this learning process together. None of us expecting perfection from the start, but realizing that it is a gradual learning process. So I say to you, what evidence of Christ do you see in your life of Christ bidding you to come? Do you see him or hear him in your own life? Do you see the poor or the hungry or the lonely as signs of God calling to you? Perhaps the marginalized, those who are being oppressed. Does that call to your heart? Do you want to stand in solidarity with them? How is it that Jesus is speaking to you? And like Peter, with all of his flubs and failings, our journeys are usually not straightforward, from strength to strength. There's always a challenge that forces us to flex new spiritual muscles in order to continually build up our faith. And we are called to learn from each other. It's in sharing our stories that we help to build each other up. Sharing helps us to sharpen our discernment in looking for and finding Jesus when storms do arise in our lives. Notice that the disciples worshiped Jesus when they recognized who he was, and their faith was strengthened by sharing their own and Peter's experience. Not all of them walked out on the water, but they did see him walk out, and they did see what happened. And their faith was strengthened. We hear in St. Paul's letter to the Romans this morning, it speaks also to us. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one to whom they have not heard, of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet who bring the good news. Whose feet are those, do you suspect? There's a whole bunch of feet in this room, and it's all of your feet are meant to carry that good news out there to the hurting, bringing your understanding and your experience of Jesus Christ, his mercy, love, and goodness to the world that is hurting. We have a responsibility to not only follow the way of Christ, but also to be an example and leaders, pointing the way for those who are still seeking. So it takes great faith for us to step out of the boat, that comfortable place, but it takes even greater faith to assure those who are still in the boat to step out as well. Through Christ, we are empowered to do everything he did, including seemingly impossible tasks. Perhaps there are people in a boat that you know, metaphorical boat, that is. Perhaps there's a woman that you know who's stuck in an abusive relationship or being trafficked, perhaps, and is afraid to get out of that relationship. There are people in the boat, perhaps a man who sees an injustice happening over and over and knows that he has to stand up for what is right, like the people did yesterday down there in Virginia. Or perhaps there's a young person in your life who is struggling with their sexual identity and is afraid to come out. There are all people out there in the boat. We just need to recognize who they are and help them to move forward in their lives. Because those people in the boat need not only to see Jesus standing on the water, but you as people of God who have the courage to step out of the boat and follow along with them. We are all called to be that example, to help strengthen the faith of the others who are hurting, weary, and looking for God's love and mercy. No one ever fails who clings to Jesus Christ. Every time we depend on Jesus, we draw closer to him and love him more and more. And we learn to understand it in our hearts and in our souls and appreciate more and more the power of the cross of Christ. Author Olive Wyon, in her book entitled Consider Him, quotes from the letters of the 17th century Bishop of Geneva, St. Francis de Sales, who had noticed a custom of the country districts in which he lived. He had often noticed a farm servant going across a farmyard to draw water at the well, but he also noticed that before she lifted the brimming pail, the girl always put a piece of wood into it. One day, he went out to the girl and asked her, "Why do you do that?" And she looked surprised and answered him as if it were a matter of course, saying, "Why? To keep the water from spilling, to keep it steady." Writing to a friend later on, the bishop told this story and then added, "So that when your heart is distressed and agitated, put the cross into its center to keep it steady. In every time of storm or stress, the presence of Jesus and the love which flows from the cross bring peace and serenity and calm." Amen.